Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Good morning. How are you today? Amen. You guys ready to make some history together? Amen. I believe it's time for the world to get blessed by the kingdom of God on a greater level. Amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Job, chapter 22. Now, we have been in this series for the past 7 weeks, unpacking the greater things that we believe the Lord has directed us to do over the next 2 years. Everything is coming together today for us to declare or to make some pledges and to say, Lord, we're putting some action behind our desire to see the church do greater things over the next 2 years. So I'm very excited about what's about to take place today. In doing greater things, we believe that God's called us to move not just in Roscoe and Rockford, but to expand all over the globe to help people come to know Jesus, to take care of new people groups, and to get involved in making the world a better place. And so your yes to your pledges today is going to be something that other people will be benefited by, which I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I want to talk to you, though, today, as we're preparing for our pledge time, about the power of declaration, because your pledge card is a declaration. You're saying something in that card. And I want to show us today through the scripture how, as God begins to shift nations, God begins to start people's journeys, God begins to change people's seasons and doing new things, how often God uses his people to begin to decree, to begin to declare those new beginnings. When people put words behind their faith, when people begin to take their faith and flesh it out and they speak it, it engages something in the natural or in the spiritual, and then it begins to create in the natural. So I want to talk to you today about the power. There's something powerful that's about to take place as you declare your pledges today. So I want to talk about the power of declaration. Job chapter 22, verse 28. You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. Isn't that an awesome verse? This is what we've been talking about over the last 7 weeks. You will decide. We're moving from a wait-and-see model, like 2 years from now, let's wait and see if there's any money, and then we'll see if we can help anybody else, to a decide and do, to say we're making a decision to help greater people, more people, and by making that decision, in 2 years, we will definitely help more people. We're moving from a wait-and-see model of giving to a decide and do. And here the word tells us, you shall decide, and you'll decree that thing which you decided. Now, not only have we decided to change our giving model, we've decided to do greater things. So now there's a mandate. Now it's out there. It's out there, Life Church, that over the next 2 years, we've challenged our own thinking. We've challenged our own normal. And we're saying that we're not going to just exist over the next 2 years. We're going to expand. We're going to reach people. We're going to see some advancement over the next 2 years. We've decreed that. Do you see what I'm saying? And the word is telling us here that you shall decide, you shall decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your way. We're asking the Lord now to shine his favor upon these opportunities. Now, obviously, each of these opportunities have hearts and lives and souls and people involved, and it's the will of God to take care of people, to save people, to bring them to heaven, to give them a new beginning, amen, to advance the kingdom of darkness, to bring people out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we know this is the will of the Lord. Amen. All of the monies, all of this vision has to do with increasing the kingdom of God, but we do need the Lord's favor upon it because these are things that we're believing that are bigger than us. And that's a good place to be. Somebody say amen to that. We're believing God to do something bigger than ourselves. So we're asking God to stretch us as well. But it's all part of our faith. It's all part of what faith people do in declaring, in speaking things before they happen, to begin to come into agreement with God and to begin to speak the season, to speak the change, to declare the shift. And then as it begins to unfold, we know that God got involved. Declaring is a powerful part of our releasing of our faith and authority as believers. I love that we are seated with him and in him in heavenly places. We have his word. We have his name. We are the body of Christ. We are filled with his spirit. But one of the ways we begin to release that authority, by the way, we have authority over the enemy. Anyone agree with that? Absolutely. And one of the ways we begin to take ground back, one of the ways we begin to unlock and release the authority we have in Jesus is to begin to put the devil on notice, to begin to declare seasons are changing. It's a new day, devil. The church is awakening. Amen. It's a new day. It's a new generation. This church is waking up. And we're taking some steps forward. Part of releasing our authority, part of releasing faith is linked to what we do with our declaration, is released on what we declare. In releasing that declaration, when we declare, declaration is to set a course. It releases faith. It begins processes and journeys. That declaration puts heaven on notice. I love that. Because when we speak things out, we come into agreement with the heavenlies, and basically we're declaring, God, we're in agreement with you. And we're letting heaven know that we're doing something with heaven. But it also lets the enemy know that things are changing. When you decree a thing and you declare a thing forward, it also lets you know. You know, there's times where you decree out of your mouth or you declare out of your mouth, and your physical emotions might be nervous and might say it's more comfortable to stay the same. It's easier just to stay where we've always been, but your spirit forces your faith out of your mouth, and you put yourself on notice that we are not going to be the same people 2 years from now that we are right now sitting in this chair. And you have the ability to decree a thing, and you set your own self on notice, saying, we're about to go to another level, self. I'm taking you captive. I'm taking authority over my mind, my will, my emotions, and I'm taking us forward into the will of God for my family and for my life. So you let heaven know, hell know, yourself know, and even others around you know that things are about to change. Things are about to move forward. And that's all so Christian. That's all beautiful. Declaring things before they come to pass, before they see them. It's in the beginning of the journey starts with that confession. The beginning of the journey starts with that declaration. That we're coming out of Egypt, we're coming out of our past. Even when someone gets saved, they get saved by the power of declaration of faith upon Jesus. And they're letting their past know that Jesus is now the Lord of their life, not the devil, the prince of darkness. You see what I'm saying? And so they come out of and start that new journey with that power of confession and declaration. And so we're going to talk a little bit about why we need to do this together, why we're doing this as a body, unified as a church. Because a church, by the way, let's just keep saying this over and over again, is not a building. Amen? The church is us. And when we begin to speak the same thing, when we begin to come into agreement and we begin to decree and declare the will of God over this house over the next 2 years, we'll do every single one of those greater things if we come together. Powerful verse in the book of Genesis chapter 11. There's a story. I used it in the beginning of this series, but I'll bring us back to it. There's a story of the Tower of Babel. The people there were proud of their success, proud of their ingenuity, and they began to build this tower. They wanted to exalt they wanted to show the world how smart they were. They wanted to be able to show people how far they'd come, and they wanted to build a tower to reach to the heavens, really to declare their own glory. They were under the leadership of a man named Nimrod. Never follow a guy named Nimrod. Okay, lesson number one today. And God comes down and he scatters their language so they can't finish the tower. But notice what the Lord says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. The Lord said, if they've begun to do this as one people, speaking the same language, then nothing they devise will be beyond them. Now, that's not a rebuke, by the way. The Lord isn't rebuking them. You understand, God made people, right? And so he knows how they work. Now, unfortunately, what they decided to do with their unity, what they decided to come into agreement on, what they were speaking over was building a kingdom unto themselves. But what if the body of Christ comes together and decides a thing that we're going to expand the kingdom of God in the next 2 years? And we're going to do some great things together. And we as a church, some little church in Roscoe that was at one time in the middle of a soybean field, is going to somehow have impact and make Rockford, our own city and region, a better place by serving it on a level they've never known and by leading in a way of kindness and generosity and getting involved like they've never seen. And then we're also going to impact generations on the other side of the planet. If you would have been here 15 years ago with the 18 people that are here, and some of them are here sitting in these first few rows, and it almost brings me to tears even seeing them here today, to see where what they saw 15 years ago and to see what they're about to see over the next 2 years, do you understand God is doing a mighty work? Amen. But I love this verse, and it wasn't a rebuke. The Lord said, if they've begun to do this, as one people. Well, church, if we come together as one today, if we come together as one people, not divided factions, not divided ideals, and we say, you know what? I may not understand everything, but I'm going to come into agreement on this. If we come into agreement as one people, speaking the same language, what if every time we came into church, we began to challenge one another and we began to say, man, this church is doing greater things. This church is changing the world. This church is making a difference in Rockford. And other people start to maybe complain about Rockford, and you say, oh, I'm not going to complain about Rockford. My church is part of the solution to the city of Rockford. Amen. My church is a part of the answer. Amen. And we start speaking the same language. The Bible, God himself declared that nothing they devise to do will be beyond them. So don't think our vision is too great that it can't be done. The only limitation would be ourselves. Amen. The devil can't stop us. God wants his will to continue to grow. The only limitation will be us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says it like this. Again, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking. Again, I tell you the truth. If two of you on earth agree. Do we see the power of agreement? No wonder the devil loves discord as his best weapon in the body of Christ. Because when we agree together, the body works. When we agree together, we're greater than anything he can throw in this generation. When we're fighting ourselves, we don't have time to fight him. Come on now, somebody. And I tell you the truth that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, we're asking for greater things so that orphans can be paid for, comforted, taught, clothed. We're asking for greater things that churches can be planted and developed, Bible schools can be developed, bases can be grown to continue to change the continent of Africa. We're asking for greater things so our city can be reached and we can be a blessing to our city. We're asking for greater things so that your families and the neighbors that you bring into this place have the best experience when they come to this place. When you agree about anything you ask for, it will be done by my Father who is in heaven. Let's talk about some shifts, some changes that occurred connected to some mighty declarations throughout the Bible. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, write that in your notes. By the way, how many of you have your notebooks today? Well, you got a notebook check? Good, take down notes now. Let's talk about some places throughout the scripture where the power of decreeing shifted a generation, began to usher in a new season. Some powerful decrees. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a story of David and Goliath, which we've been mentioning over the past few months or weeks, kind of keeps coming up. The idea of David and Goliath. If you're new to your Bibles, David was a shepherd boy that God anointed to be king. He would become the second king of Israel, God's people. Now, in this particular chapter, what you see happen is that God's armies of Israel are afraid, and they're cowering against Goliath, this giant. And the giant worked for, or was a part of the nation of the Philistines, and basically said, why should all of us kill each other? Let's put our champions to battle, and if our champion wins, you'll be our slaves. If your champion wins, we'll be your slaves. But the Philistines knew when they made that offer, they had Goliath, which was a giant of a man. And the Bible says that Israel was afraid, and nobody wanted to go out and fight, not even the king. King Saul wanted to go out and fight. But David came on the scene. David, this little shepherd boy, who, by the way, had been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be the next king. And I tell you this, and I continue to speak this. One of the reasons God gave us the Holy Spirit, I believe, is for courage. Is to be aware that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so that giants begin to look small because you don't see you by yourself. You see you times God can do anything. David, the reason he ran to the battle was because he didn't see himself alone. He saw himself as anointed of God. And we're not doing greater things in our own flesh. But everybody, God gave us the Holy Spirit for a reason. He gave us the Holy Spirit not to be weird, but to do good. Somebody say amen. And not to sit in churches to say we have the Spirit, but to take what we learn in church and to affect the world and the community. And that's going to take us getting active. By the way, the Holy Spirit book I like the best is the book of Acts, not the book of Sits. Amen. So David, under the power of the Holy Spirit, he comes out into the battle and he begins to declare towards the giant, things are about to change. I love it. Nothing had changed in the natural. Still a giant, still two armies. David didn't even have any proof of what he was about to say, but he had an unction of the Spirit. Come on now. He began to speak by the Spirit that something was about to happen. He was about to make a decree. He was about to make a declaration of something, and it was about to shift everything. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day," I love it, not one day God's going to do, or perhaps the Lord will deliver us. David boldly declared that today this thing is over. Today the battle is the Lord's. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there's a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. I love that. Can you just get this picture, would you please? Here's David, right? All we know about David at this point in his life is he had beautiful eyes and red hair. That's all I know. Look in your Bibles. That's his description. So he's batting those beautiful eyes at Goliath. I'm not sure. Here's David, and he looks at Goliath, and Goliath's looking down on him, and David says, "Today, I'm going to take your head off." And then David not only tells that to Goliath, he looks at the rest of the Philistines and says, "And we're going to kill all of you as well. Once I'm done with him, I'm coming after you." Can you see the declaration? Now, how does David know this? Where are the metrics that David is utilizing to tell him that what he's declaring is going to happen? Where are the pie graphs and the charts that David reviewed? Where's the comparables that when David's making this declaration, he can make this and he's guaranteed that it's going to come to pass? David was sensing it by the Spirit. Why do I say that? Because too many times when we say, "Hey, church, we're going to do greater things. We're going to raise this much money. We're going to give it away. We're going to be a blessing to the world." People want to say, "Well, I want to see how it's going to happen." All I'm saying to you is the Holy Spirit has given us an unction. And even if $100 plus $100 somehow doesn't look like it's enough, somehow that 100 plus 100 is going to equal 1,000, because the Lord has given us an unction. You see what I'm saying? One way or another, Goliath's head's coming off. One way or another, this church is going to do greater things in the next 2 years. Do you hear what I'm saying? We will not be the same church 2 years from now. And we're not that we're bad now, but we're going to be greater. And we're going to accomplish more. Amen. So David put Goliath and the rest of Israel on notice that things were about to change. His decree was a release of authority. His decree was his release of faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? His decree was coming into agreement with God by what he decreed and what he declared. John the Baptist had a mighty decree, and it shifted a generation. It released faith. It let heaven know. It let hell know things were about to change. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist in the New Testament saw Jesus coming by, and by the Spirit again, he looked at Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Look, behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Mighty declaration. How did John know that? He knew it by an unction of the Spirit. Do you understand that declaration shifted generations? That previously Israel would use physical lambs as their sacrifices, always looking towards the day that God would send the Messiah. But in this moment, John the Baptist, without any type of of graphs or metrics like we were talking about and all this stuff, John, by the Spirit, said, that's the Lamb of God. And from this day forward, the lambs that we were looking forward towards the Messiah, that's the Messiah. There he is. Do you understand? There are people that would challenge John's opinion there. There are people that would challenge John's decree. There are people that didn't want the season to change. There were people that doubted the season was changing. But someone had to declare the season is changing. Someone had to awaken others that would believe, that would join in faith, and would begin to understand and see what God was doing in that generation. Some weren't ready, but the ones that were saw Jesus. The ones that were beheld the new age, the new freedom, the new covenant right before their eyes. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But John had to get bold, and John had to declare and decree what God had shown him, that things were changing. Another declaration would be that of Jesus himself in John chapter 11. Jesus making a bold statement again. This is at the tomb of Lazarus when one of Jesus' friends, Lazarus, had died. He was buried for a few days, and when he had come by to raise him up, he was being challenged by Lazarus' sister, Martha. Jesus speaks to her, and he says to her, Martha, John chapter 11, 25 through 27, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He challenged her, do you believe now? See, he declared something bold. He declared something, he could declare a new age. He declared a shift. He declared his authority right there. I mean, literally, to a generation of people who their forgiveness, their relationship to God was all based on their relationship to the law, Jesus was now shifting things, saying, your eternal life is in me now. Your eternal life is in me. I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you'll live. Do you understand what a huge shift that is in that generation? What a declaration that was. But that's Jesus releasing faith. That's Jesus releasing his authority. That's Jesus in that statement empowering other people to join in that expectation. Again, letting heaven know, letting hell know, letting them know who he is and that everything had just changed. Do we see how the power of declaration for the next, the power of speaking things before they happen or revealing them through the spoken word, how important those things are so that people can join in faith, so that people can gather and rally, so that people can participate in what God is doing in that moment? There's a declaration that has to happen for people to be able to join. I love that. Jesus taught, Maria was talking about this at the end of worship, and we hadn't even discussed it, but it's all part of the sermon today. Jesus taught in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he was teaching us to decree and to declare and speak even to our obstacles, our mountains. I love that. Remember I said that in declaring something, it's releasing power, it's releasing the authority, it's releasing faith. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 23, truly I tell you that if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and has no doubt in his heart, but believes that will happen, it will be done for him. The reason I bring that out, and there's other things to that as well, there's forgiveness involved in that, and there's some other things involved in that, but just the idea about that mountain. A mountain would be an obstacle to overcome, something in your way, a blockade of some sort. I love what Maria brought out. Like, God knew that was there. God's not afraid of mountains. And you're not, I love that, you're not on the wrong journey. Because God knows you have everything you need for life and godliness. You have everything you need to climb that mountain. And we've said it so many times, that mountain was not there to stop you, it's there to make you. If you've not written that down and made that part of your confession, that is true. Because in learning how to scale the mountain, you learn the skills, you learn the strength, you learn the wisdom and knowledge, how to overcome mountains. Oh, and by the way, you can then share that knowledge with others. Okay? But the idea is that those mountains, you begin to speak, you begin to not speak to have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? You begin to make a declaration to the opposition. You begin to declare that you are not intimidating me. You will not stop me. I will either move you or I will scale you, but I'm moving forward. Come on, my friend. and you're making a decree, you're making a declaration, you're releasing the faith. See, because when fear came up and it said, oh my goodness, there's a mountain, you declared a better word. You came into agreement, you declare what God promised over your life. Amen. David saw a mountain of a man named Goliath. And what did he do? He spoke to Goliath. Now, whether it's a giant or a mountain, it's the same thing. And Jesus taught us to speak to those mountains. Those pledge cards today, we're speaking to some mountains. We're speaking to the city of Rockford with our declaration saying, we're getting involved, Rockford. We're speaking to Thailand and to the orphans in Thailand saying, we're coming and we're going to help you. You are not alone. Is anyone hearing this today? We're declaring to the mountains. We're declaring to Africa, we're getting involved into your better future. We're declaring to Life Church, this house, we're speaking to this house even, that we still value what's going on here, that God isn't finished yet, and you're, oh, Roscoe Rockford, you're worth investing in to greater days of the Life Church services and Life Church as a whole. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something else you're declaring to. I saw this last night, and I really want to say it again. I believe one of the mountains that pledge card, one of the mountains we're declaring to, one of the giants we're declaring to, is the mindset of a generation that says the church is going away, that the church is not relevant anymore, that 2 years from now, the church will be smaller and less effective than what we see today. And we literally are declaring in the face of that animosity that 2 years from now, we're not shrinking. 2 years from now, we're pushing back the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church Jesus created. Amen? Do you see that declaration? See, this generation, this media system, this world wants us to think the church's days are in the past. But when this church rises up and says, we're doing greater things, we're saying our past isn't bigger than our future. And we're speaking a greater word over those mountains and over those giants. Isn't that powerful? Joshua in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, he taught to speak in a decree over your family. Maybe this is your takeaway today. To begin to put your family on notice. He said in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors who served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What does that declaration do in your house? It begins to shift the atmosphere of your house, and it begins to give direction to all your preceding choices or your following choices. When we say, as for us in our house, we're going to serve the Lord, that begins to also speak to what you watch on television. It begins to speak to the media you allow in your house. It begins to speak to how you treat one another in the home. Do you understand? That's not just some vague statement saying, oh, as for me in my house, there's people that may say that and don't mean anything. But if you believe that and you mean it, it's actually now giving you a course of action. You've released faith. You've released authority. You've put yourself on notice that you need to serve the Lord in that house too. And you're setting the house on notice that we're going to begin to purge this house from bitterness, from resentment, from lasciviousness, from evil, from wickedness, from all this stuff. And this house is going to be a place of goodness, a place of holiness, a place of light. Do you see that? But it starts with that declaration. If you don't declare over your house, as for this house, we're going to serve the Lord, you allow all kind of other things in the house. But the moment you make the decree, the moment you make the pledge, the moment you make the declaration, you begin to give direction of the following steps. Do you see that? To decree is to change a direction. To decree is to start a new season, to decide and to do. This idea of declaration, I can't get away when we're talking about declaration, declaration, declaration. I can't get away from the founding fathers here in the United States. When I think of declaration, my brain goes back to the Declaration of Independence. It's an interesting fact for those of you that love history. I'm a history guy. I love history. But when we celebrate on July 4th, we look back to 1776 on July 4th. Now, almost all other nations, when they celebrate their independence, they celebrate the day they won their independence at the end of a battle somewhere. But what makes the United States so unique is that our celebration of July 4th is the celebration not of the day we won our independence, but of the day we declared our independence. the signing of the Declaration of Independence. In that declaration, now for those of you history buffs, the declaration wasn't completely signed for about 3 or 4 days, but we've chosen July 4th as the main day. What's so powerful about that is it's not the day the battle was finished, it's actually the day that they chose to go to battle. They celebrate the day they decided a thing. They celebrate the day they decreed what they decided. And when they decreed what they decided, they knew the cost and the steps to take to now create a free nation. Isn't that powerful? See, today we celebrate because we're deciding what we're going to do over the next 2 years. We're celebrating today because we know where we want to be 2 years from now. They knew they wanted to be free from England. They knew they wanted to be their own independent nation. And then there was going to be a cost and there was going to be a price to pay. They had decided it was worth paying that price. They had decided it was worth fighting for. Now, I can't tell you that the next 2 years in fulfilling these commitments, in doing these outreaches, in partnering these ministries is all going to be Skittles, unicorns, and rainbows and super easy. There's probably going to be some construction, some work, some effort, some battling in the spirit. Amen? There's going to be some sweat, but we've already decreed it, we've decided it, and now we know it's worth paying the price for. As we declare, as we decide, as we do. Now, real quickly, before I close, I want to talk to you about those that are afraid of making a declaration. The word declaration, or when we ask you to write down on a pledge card, your heart is in the right place. You don't want to write anything down that you're not absolutely, positively sure you can do. But we're asking you to have some eyes of faith. And we're asking you not to look at it like you're signing this contract as much as you're saying, God, I have this goal in my heart. I have this goal to do this over the next 2 years. And there's power in writing down our goals. There's power in writing down your goals. Matter of fact, even in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord told the prophet to write down the vision. Write it in front of you. Write down what's about to take place. Write down what I'm showing you. Make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. Many of us have seen the research before, but I'll just bring it to your attention. There's a much greater percentage of you fulfilling a goal if you simply write it down. Matter of fact, it goes up 42%. Isn't that powerful? Almost 50% greater chance that those dreams, those ambitions, those desires that kind of clunk around in our head, you know, we're like, oh, I don't want to write it down. I don't want to let anybody know. And the only reason we don't want to write it down is because we're afraid it may not come to pass. But in simply taking the step to write it down, your chances of seeing that goal fulfilled goes up almost 50%. That's huge. And it goes up even higher if you not only write it down, but then you declare that goal to a trusted group of friends or people. Isn't that powerful? Because now you've put it out there, and there becomes a faith and an energy involved in bringing that thing to pass. And so I'm just asking you not to be afraid of making a pledge. It's a goal. And I wrote this down, and hopefully this will free you. It's better to try something greater and even fall a little short than never try anything greater and achieve it. Saying, well, if I don't write it down, then it doesn't matter if I don't achieve it and no one will know and I won't disappoint anybody. You're not going to disappoint anybody by trying to do great things. Do you hear that? And by the way, we're not asking you to figure it out. We're asking you to trust the Lord. Just saying, Lord, what's the number? What's the greater? We've been talking about it for 7 weeks. We want to be a part of that. And so we write the goal down and we share it. And the Holy Spirit begins to help us bring those things to pass. There's an illustration we've been talking about the last few weeks, and I'll just remind us of it. It has to do with a pizza. Yes, Pastor Kevin is part Italian, so he talks about pizza in his sermons. Now, sometimes when we ask people to pledge or when people think about their budgets, you think about your budgets just in the finite mindset. This is how much money comes in. This is all there is. And so the pizza is only this big. There's only this many slices. And so now, if I make a pledge, I got to figure out how to how to cut those slices even smaller, so now there's less for all the other things I need to do. So, I mean, I guess the kids aren't getting new shoes, and I guess we can't do that, and I guess, and you're just trying to cut more slices out of the same size of pizza. What we're asking you to set your heart towards, and the goal is not to try to cut more slices out of the same size pizza, but would you join your faith with us that God actually expands your pizza over the next 2 years? Because that's really biblical, by the way. Jesus says that no one's given anything to him, that in this life won't receive 30, 60, and 100 fold, and in the next life, eternal life. How many of you know you can't outgive the Lord? Yeah, is there a level of sacrifice? Sure there is, but I've noticed something. Every time I try to sacrifice something to the Lord, he blesses me so much, what I thought was a sacrifice is now privilege. Because God is that good. Isn't that powerful? We're not asking you to just slice more slices out of the pizza. We're just asking you to believe God to give you a bigger pie. Amen. And to make the declaration. As I close right now, Pastor Ken will be coming in a minute, but Pastor Brock and the team are going to lead us in a worship song first, just to kind of get our hearts and spirits in the right place. But you know, even this idea of bold declarations we've been talking about, you know, it works in so many ways in our lives, not just pledge cards. I hope that you realize today that we're talking about pledges and making a declaration, that the principle of declaring a thing and speaking out those goals, even though you don't have all the information, but God's given you an unction on the inside, that's part of a Christian walk. Like another practical way of using the power of declaration is this. What if today you were to make a declaration between you and the Lord and you wrote it down that I will invite 5 people to church before the end of the year? Now you've put a timeline on it. Just like us saying we're going to do greater things in 2 years, it's way different than saying we're going to do greater things as a church. That's so vague, there's no energy to it. But we say over the next 2 years, we're going to do these greater things. Now there's vision. Now there's energy. Now there's faith in it. Same thing in your life. Not saying, I'm going to invite 5 people to church one day. Say, I'm going to invite 5 people to church between now and the end of the year. All of a sudden, you made a declaration. You wrote it down. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to begin inviting people to church in a way that you haven't in many, many months. It's powerful, isn't it? The same thing. What if you made a declaration that I'm coming out of addiction, I'm coming out of bondage. This week, I will get accountability. I will get into some sort of mentorship. I will get into some sort of process that will help me out of those addictions. Rather than one day, I'll get free. How about you declare a thing? Let the Spirit give you an unction today and say, as of this day, I draw a line in the sand. Amen. And I declare that I will walk out my freedom that Jesus has paid for. And then there's action. See, that declaration then creates following action. What's the next action? If you say, I'm going to walk out in freedom, I'm going to start getting free in this area of addiction or bondage, well, the next action would be find accountability or find some sort of discipleship and get plugged in this week. And then all of a sudden, that process begins to get flushed out. It works in so many ways.
God, we declare your goodness today. And God, as we approach this sacred moment, we just give you our hearts. We give you everything we are. And we just say, speak to us in these moments. We want to hear you in Jesus' name. We're going to ask you to go ahead and take a seat for a moment. And if our ushers would help us, we're going to distribute our faith commitment cards for Do Greater Things right now. And as they're distributing those, let me just talk to you about a couple of things. You know, every child, every one of us as children, we dreamt of being superheroes and having superpowers. And you know why we wanted superpowers? Because this was what was in our hearts. We wanted to destroy the bad guys. We wanted to help people in distress. We wanted to save the world. And the truth is, that desire does not go away just because we become adults. You know why? Because God, I believe, has placed a desire in every one of us that says this, I want to make a difference in this world with my life, God. I want to defeat the bad guys. I want to see the world saved. I want to know that my life matters. And so in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said these words to us. He said, I have given you all power and all authority. And you may not realize it today, but I want you to realize it, that you have been given power by Jesus Christ to save lives and to transform communities. You, we together, all it takes is one thing. a willingness for me, a willingness for you to be the miracle. To be the miracle. You see, I believe, and I preached on this a number of weeks ago, that God has already placed in your hand, in my hand, everything that we need as a church to be the miracle that people in this region, the place where we live and work and play, need. It's already here. God has already placed in our hands the miracle for what that orphanage in Thailand needs, or those pastors and the people that we're trying to help in Eswatini and Zambia need, or any of the other projects that we're doing. You see, the decision we make today matters to a lot of people. And this is the funny thing. Many of the people to whom what we do in this next few minutes matters the most, you will never even meet personally. You may never get the chance to know their name or to see their face, but you will have transformed their lives. When we think about miracles, so many times we think about other people. Well, God uses them to do miracles. And wow, what a miracle so-and-so is. But today, God wants you to know that you're the miracle. You're the miracle. And why is it important that you understand that? Because there are people right here in this town. There are people in this region and around the world whose miracle depends on you. Now, for the last 6 or 7 weeks, as Pastor Kevin has been saying already, we've shared various opportunities where we as a church are hoping to do greater things and transform lives and actually transform the culture in which we live. I love the words of the great revivalist Leonard Ravenhill, who has now gone on to be with the Lord, but he once said this. He said, "The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of that opportunity." Gang, today is our opportunity. I believe that this is our time to make a difference and to do greater things. But it will take the participation of everyone sitting in this room to take advantage of those opportunities and to walk through those doors. So today, I'm asking you, be the miracle. Now, in this campaign, we've set 3 levels of goals. The first goal, if you'll remember from your brochure, is our victory goal. And that would be to raise $5.5 million in this next 2 years to do greater things. The second level was our challenge goal. That was $6 million in the next 2 years. And then our absolute amazing dream breakthrough goal, if God moves miraculously, would be to raise $6.5 million. And if we do that, we will be able to do all of the greater things that we've listed and talked about, which would be absolutely amazing. And I believe that's what God wants. And look, we realize that those are big numbers and those are big goals. But here's why we have big goals. Because we serve a big God who wants his children to do big things. Amen? Because the world needs bigger thinkers and bigger dreamers and bigger problem solvers. And so we, the church, want to step up. You know, there were people that came before you here at Life Church who dreamed big dreams, and they gave sacrificially, and that's why you're sitting here today enjoying what you do, right? Here's the exciting news. I want you to know today that less than 10% of our key leaders and volunteers, about 30 families, decided to give their commitments in advance of this weekend. And just amongst those 30 families alone, we have already raised over 10% of the big goal of $6.5 million. Those 30 families alone have already pledged, get this, $668,776. Isn't that amazing? Now, with the number of families that we have as regular givers at Life Church, that means that with about 6 or 7% of the people, we've already given over 10% of the way to 6.5 million. Because 10% of 6.5 million, those of you math buffs, is what? 650,000. Well, we've already given 668,000. That means, get this, with the remaining 90% of us, we can do this thing. Because remember what I've been telling you week after week. It's not about dollars. It's about participation. If every one of you will do something, every family that calls Life Church their home church will do something, I am telling you, God will add his super on our natural and we will do greater things than we could have ever imagined. But the key is everybody's got to do something. So this is your time. So would you take out your commitment card right now? Would you put it in your hand? If you're a couple, you only need to fill out one commitment card, all right? You don't each need to fill out a commitment card, so just one per couple or one per family, one per individual, if you're a single family household. And I want you to do this. First thing, most important thing, our accounting office will love you for this till their dying breath. Print legibly. Sometimes we have to bring cryptographers in during the week to decipher offering envelopes and because it's so crazy. So if you would print, and all I want you to do, don't write anything in your pledge right now, just put in your information in the top portion, all right? Your name, your first name, your last name. If you don't think we have your address and city and information or it's changed, then put that in there. But this will help us greatly. So you do go ahead and do that right now. And while you're doing that, we want those of you that are here today, you may be a guest for the first time. We're not asking you, obviously, to give in this pledge commitment card today. This isn't about you. But we do want you to know this. If you're here visiting with us for the first time, we're a church of vision that believes in impacting the community and the world. That's what you need to know about us as a first-time guest this morning. And so we're glad that you're here. Now, in a moment, we're going to pray, and then we're going to ask you to fill in the rest of that card. But first, let me walk you through it. For the last couple of weekends, we provided you with a worksheet, right? And that worksheet was designed to kind of help you to think through the one number that you're going to put on this card today. Again, I want to remind you that this is not a capital campaign. Many of you are familiar with capital campaigns where you raise money for a project. This is a one fund campaign. That means that we're trying to figure out over the next 2 years, what is the total amount of giving that's going to take place here at Life Church? So there were three categories on your worksheet. Number one, we asked you to figure out what is your tithe or your regular giving going to look like for the next 2 years? And we asked you to put that on a line. Then secondly, we asked you to consider missions. What do you normally do for missions? Because usually every year we do a missions faith promise commitment card. But from here on out, we won't be doing that anymore. Why? Because what you're about to put down, that number, includes your faith promise already. It's all of it, okay? We want to be very clear about that. So you have the first line that you were adding, that's your tithe. The second line, your missions, commitments, whatever you want to do for missions. And then that third line was kind of your stretch. What do you want to do for the community, the projects we have going on in the community, and those projects that we have going on right here in the home bases, our Roscoe and Rockford campuses, maintenance items that we need to take care of. And then we said, add those three numbers together, and that's the number you're going to put on here. So if you've done that, we've given you three ways to designate it. Number one, some of you, many of you, get paid bi-weekly, and that's your giving pattern, right? Every 2 weeks, you make out a check to the church, or you text in, or whatever it is, you're giving. And so you could do bi-weekly. So figure out, what do you want to give bi-weekly? Multiply it times 52 weeks, that would be 2 years, and put it on that line, and that line should match the total amount pledged over 2 years. Or you can do it monthly, if it's easier to figure out that way. Or for some of you, you're like, oh, forget it. It's just easier for me to say what I'm going to do each year, multiply it by two. And so the lines over here should match the bottom line. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to fill that out, all right? Holy Spirit, we thank you because we have an amazing congregation of generous people. God, I thank you for the vision that has been declared over these past 7 weeks. And now we are taking our action step. We are making a declaration. We are setting goals, Lord, through our commitment card. God, let faith rise up in this moment. God, I'm asking you to enlarge the pie for each of us so that we can do what you have put in our hearts to do. Lord, we are not coercing anybody today. We are not pressuring anybody today. The word says, let a man, let a woman give what is in his or her heart to give. And so that's what we're doing, Lord, what you put in our heart to give. And Lord, as every person in this room participates, somehow, some way, God, we believe that we're going to be able to do greater things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.